Being what some people call a woman of a certain age, that age being more precisely 67 and a half, and being a woman who taught junior high long enough to have shed her sense of dignity and to believe that just about any experience can provide a teachable moment, I've been extremely open about losing my high-frequency hearing. Hearing loss must work rather the way cataracts do. Virtually everyone I know who's had cataract surgery on one eye was shocked at how suddenly bright and colorful everything was through that eye and how dingy and brownish everything was through the other eye. They'd never noticed the gradual darkening as the cataracts grew. I was equally surprised when first wearing my hearing aids that suddenly Robin sounded much better again. I'd never lost the ability to hear them, but without realizing it, I had lost the high-frequency overtones that give Robin songs their brilliance. The vast majority of people who get hearing aids most urgently need to hear human voices more clearly. Mine certainly help with that, but they were specially programmed by my audiologist to bring out the highest frequency sounds. So I love my hearing aids, but they're not perfect. I can't hear a LeConte sparrow anymore, even with them, unless I'm so close that I could see it with my bare eyes anyway. To hear the highest warblers and those beloved LeConte sparrows, I'm more likely to be wearing a different pair of headphones attached to my wonderful Song Finder, a great invention by Lang Elliott and Herb Sussman. The earpieces on the headphones each have a tiny microphone that shoots the sound not into my ears, but through a wire to a high-tech device about the size of a deck of cards. That's where the magic happens. It lowers the frequencies of the sounds going in on each side by half, a third, or a quarter. I have mine set on half to bring the sounds within my hearing range and instantly shoots the changed sound into the hearing part of the headphones. Not only is the idea of lowering the frequencies in real time sheer genius, the microphones on both sides of the headphones bring the altered sounds to my ears exactly as they would in nature, so I get perfect directionality too. Unless I am trying to locate one particular bird with a high voice, I usually wear mine around my neck rather than on my ears. This way I hear robins and other medium frequency birds naturally while easily picking up the sounds of higher frequency birds from the headphones. This wonderful invention is expensive. It cost me $750 plus shipping and tax, but that's still an order of magnitude less than my hearing aids cost while bringing more birds to me than my hearing aids can. I've written about this for my podcast and blog and in an article for the American Birding Association's magazine. So this woman of a certain age often hears from people who want advice about hearing birds better. This week I got an email from a birder in Virginia that made me really sad. It read, "Your article on digital hearing aids intrigued me. I did some research and learned that the Song Finder device is no longer being sold. Do you have any information about similar products either on the market or soon to be? I am frustrated enough to give up birding." I went to the Song Finder website, appropriately at the URL hearbirdsagain.com, and sure enough, they were discontinued back in October. Tragically, the Song Finder was designed for an extremely tiny niche market. There are plenty of birders and nature aficionados who have lost their upper range hearing, of course, but the number of them willing to admit to a hearing loss and to wear headphones in public to hear warblers and sparrows or insects or frogs is pretty tiny. So I'm not surprised, but very disappointed, that more birders with hearing loss won't get to experience high-frequency birds, insects, and frogs the way I can. This invention was sheer genius, and I feel really sad that developing such a wonderful tool couldn't be sustainably profitable. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.